Talking today with Dr. Tom Royer, entomology and plant pathology at Oklahoma State University. And we had to go to the expert here because we are hearing about these crazy plagues of army worms. So are you kind of hearing the same thing?
I'm definitely hearing the same thing. And it's kind of, it's a little different than many years when we have infestations come up, because this particular strain seems to like lawns and homeowners areas. So there's a lot of homeowners dealing with them, and that's doesn't happen regularly. It's more of an irregular occurrence. And I could get into the science of it, the genetics of it, but we have two strains, and this particular strain is one that seems to also prefer grasses and lawns and fescue and pasture. And then we have our traditional one that likes corn and sorghum. So we're getting kind of a double whammy this year with fall armyworm flights coming up this way and depositing eggs all over the place.
Why are they so bad this year?
They're just, we got a flight. We had flights come in. They've probably been building up. They don't overwinter in Oklahoma. So they build up in some of their overwintering grounds along the coast, the Gulf Coast, the Caribbean, and both the Texas and Florida Gulf Coasts, and the two strains, you know, they're separated by the Gulf of Mexico, but they must have just had tremendously good climate for them to build up. And a lot of times the natural enemies kind of keep up with them, but if we get a disruption in natural enemy activity and disease, you know, insect disease activity that occurs in populations, it just releases them. And that's kind of what happened this year. They just went bonkers, and we've been getting flights coming up. And I, you know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I started getting some pictures from a couple of homeowners that said, gosh, I got all these patches of eggs on the side of my house, and I don't know where they came from or anything. And I looked at them and I thought, well, those look like fall armyworm eggs. And sure enough, they hatched and got into their lawns, and they're just causing havoc all over the state.
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing too. Our neighbors had them. And so tell me a little bit about how that works. So how do you, first of all, know that you actually have them? Is there a way to, I've heard that you can take some soapy water and yeah, dump it in your yard, and they'll come up to the surface. Now, is that a real thing?
Yes. Two okay. tablespoons of lemon joy and a gallon of water, and then sprinkle it over a, you know, like a yard square area of your lawn. And if they're under the thatch or you know, slightly underground, once that soapy water hits them, it irritates them and they come up, and you can start seeing whether you have activity or not. It works pretty well, actually.
Because a lot of people have said, you know, we went on vacation and came back and had no yard left. So they must be pretty quick too.
They are. What happens is that, you know, when they're little, nobody notices them. They're so tiny, nobody notices them. They're not really eating a lot. They molt about six times once they hatch as a caterpillar. They'll molt six times and grow. Each time they molt, they grow bigger. That last molt before they turn into a pupa, there's entomologists that have done feeding studies with these things, and they eat about 70% of all the foliage that they'll ever eat as a caterpillar in that last 2 to 3 days in their last instar. So they literally can take a lawn out overnight, unless you're kind of paying attention ahead of time and noticing some of the signs. When they're smaller, they usually can't chew through the leaf. So they'll scrape leaf tissue off of the leaf and leave kind of areas that look like their window pane, you know, looks like a window pane on a leaf where you can see through it. And that's when they're smaller, that's the kind of feeding activity you'll notice. But frankly, most people don't pay attention or notice it. It's just not something that most people go out and, you know, check their lawn every day to see what's going on. So there are a lot of lawns that can disappear within a day or two or 3 days, you know? And one of the other things I'm concerned about is that there's a lot of producers that grow hay, grass hay, that they put up to feed their cattle in the wintertime. And they rely on that as their winter feed. And they have to be out checking their grass pastures as well, because they can do the same thing to a grass pasture that they can do to a lawn.
Well, tell us a few of the signs to look for. So is it a given, like if your neighbors have them, will you end up having them, or can you maybe not?
Yeah, we always suggest that people check and monitor their own lawns, because when these flights come in, it's not necessarily a uniform thing. I've got neighbors, maybe some of them have a lawn care service that was taking care of them, but I've heard from people that say, yeah, my neighbor didn't have a problem and I had a real serious problem. So they don't just deposit eggs uniformly all around, but they pick and choose where they're going to lay their eggs. One female fall armyworm moth can lay, 50 to 300 or 400 eggs. One moth can even just cause a lot of injury. And if you've got hundreds and thousands of moths flying into an area and laying eggs, you can see how you can get a situation like that occurring. But they are kind of random. It's not a guarantee that because your neighbor had a bunch of them that you will. So it's important to check.
Okay. Cause like we didn't have any, but I did the test, where I poured the soap mm-hmm. out and I didn't see any, but you're right. I have my lawn treated. So maybe it was beneficial to have that going on. But if you're a producer that's using it, like you mentioned, for hay, what are some things that they can look for to know that they may have them starting?
Like I said, on a grass blade, when the caterpillars are small, they can't actually chew through the grass blade. So they scrape the green tissue off of a leaf blade, leaving it so that it looks like like a window or a translucent window. And if you start seeing a lot of activity like that, where you're noticing what we call window painting on the leaves, that's an early sign that you have an infestation. And that's when you really need to check, because the earlier you catch them, the earlier that you decide if you have enough to worthy of treating, the easier it is to control them with the insecticide products that are registered for their use. And one of the other things that I suggest, especially for hay growers, kind of the same thing, they can use a disclosing solution, but all they have to do is if it can find a wire coat hanger, pull it into a square and just set it in different places on their pasture and count the number of caterpillars in that 2/3 of a square foot area. If they have 1 to 2, if they find an average of 1 to 2 in that 2 square foot area, that's probably an indication that they should consider treating their pasture so they can save it and make sure they can get some nice hay cutting.
Well, so speaking of treating it, is it better to treat like with a lawn care service, or is there some things you can do at your house to treat them, or what's the best course of action?
Well, in my case, I don't have a lawn care service. I just went down to a home and garden place and bought a product that contains, they call it, the one that I use is Lambdacide Halothrin, but they're pyrethroid insecticides. And we have a good strong list of suggestions for homeowners to treat armyworms. So that it's kind of a fact sheet list that we have, but certainly a lawn care company is going to be up to speed, and they're very capable of taking control of it too. So if a homeowner's comfortable and believes they can take care of their lawn, they can go down and buy, products over the counter at a garden center. But if you have a lawn care service taking care of your lawn, they probably are already on top of it and have already taken care of it, because they really pay attention to some of that things that go down. And obviously, if they missed it, it wouldn't be good for their business. So they're really on top of things.
That's right. They should be. Well, is this something you have to treat once and done? Like, are they moving out after this, after you kill them, or can they come back?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. In terms of me predicting what will happen in the future with insects, I usually bat less than 500. So I'll just say that I'm
a little bit better than the
predictor.
Weatherman, maybe.
not as good. And so I can tell you this, that they have about a 30-day life cycle, and we might see another population pop up in another couple, 3 weeks of a new flight. But the weather can have a big impact on disease development and predator, natural enemy development. So all I can say is be thinking that it's a possibility that they'll show up again, but it's not a Tom Royer guarantee that it's going to happen.
Gotcha. Well, and not just army worms, but it seems like we're seeing a lot of really gross pests this year. You know, we had a June bug attack at the 4th of July when that was happening. A lot of folks complaining about bagworms and then tons of locusts. So it just seems like it's that kind of year.
Yes. Well, I will say that I've seen, you know, and I've talked to Dr. Rebeck about bagworms. Pecan growers are having an issue with them this year, and that's kind of unusual. They usually like to stick with cedars and some of the evergreen arborvitaes and things like that. But they we've had a lot of them this year. And for pecan growers, they've had to actually treat for them because they're causing some issues. So they're kind of spreading out into some of the deciduous trees that they don't normally get associated with a whole lot. So it's been a year for bagworms for sure. Locusts, grasshoppers. Yeah, they're always around. I think Oklahoma's, you know, we just are a good home for grasshopper. They seem to do well here in the state, but cicadas and locusts and that kind of thing too. It just depends on where you are. We were getting calls earlier about whether we were having the 17-year cicadas in Oklahoma. We don't have that brood here, but we do have one that comes out every year. That we call them the annual cicadas, and they come out every year. And some years we have a lot more than others, and in some locations we have a lot more year than others. The only thing I kind of take comfort in is that Mississippi kites, which are kind of a neat bird of prey that we have here in Oklahoma, really like cicadas, and they use them to raise their young with them. So there's always good with the bad.
Maybe they'll start liking bagworms and
I wish they would. Yes.
That's what we need, something that'll come eat those up, don't we?
Yes.
Well, Dr. Royer, thank you so much. Such great information. We sure do appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.